On the eve of Snowmageddon, Princess Zoe talks about her ski trip. I talk about the Dirty Show in Detroit. In the Fetish Show news, we warn you about the government taking over your internet. We also talk about hot sex. There's an app for that. How the word fetish is taking over the world. And finally, in our questions and answers period, we talk about switching and household items that can be used in BDSM. All of that and much more is coming up right after this.
I'm Master Math Slave, and I love puppy play. Go to FetLife.com and add me as a friend so we can shake paws.
The Fetish Show brings you the latest in alternative photography, modeling, art, and fetish lifestyle. Your host is renowned fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Derek Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Derek.
Welcome to The Fetish Show. My name is Derek Hooper, and I am joined, as always, by the super scrumptious Princess Zoe. How are you doing, Zoe?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I am doing so sexy. I am so, so sexy.
You are so sexy. You've lost some weight there.
I have. I'm on a kind of a health deal.
I'm proud
right
of
now
you.
Since the first of the year, and this is our first broadcast since the beginning of the year, and so I've been doing a little bit of, a little bit of eating right and a little bit of exercising and stuff.
It
and
shows.
It feels good.
It looks good, too.
Well, thank you
very
much.
You're so super duper sexy.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about right there.
All right.
We are just about to go through Snowmageddon round two.
Snowmageddon. Hell yes. It is Snowmageddon.
It's coming for us. It's been a little while since we've broadcast. We went through the holiday season, and then I got sick. And then you got sick.
I'm barely just not sick. I'm still kind of a little sick.
Yeah, you're just kind of on the tail end of that.
Yes, that's why I sound like a man, in case anyone's wondering. I'm not a man. I just am a little sick.
Wow. I can assure you she's not a man. and so now, in between that, before we get snowed in again, we're trying to get a broadcast out there, even though you're still dealing with kind of the remnants of being sick.
Yes.
But we got to get this going because, I mean, we're going to get locked into our homes again.
I don't want to drive in this. I drove in this last time. It was talk about Snowmageddon, hell fucking yes. I was like driving from Dallas in this stuff and like cars were
sliding.
I can't
believe you were doing that.
All up the road. I got home and like, it was supposed to start at like 3 a.m. Well, it didn't. It started at like midnight. I got home at 4 a.m. barely by the skin of my chinny chin chin or whatever.
Yeah, I can't believe you. I mean, you were actually in it at the worst possible time, really.
Norman was like, it should have been shut down in fucking Norman.
Right.
It was horrible.
Right.
And like this 18-wheeler comes like sliding up my ass. I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? I couldn't go out of the ruts. If you go out of the ruts and it was frozen underneath and you go sliding. So I was like, I sped up. And it was going to rear end me.
I hear you.
So anyway, that's my brave and adventurous story.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah,
you've been out of town. We've had a lot of stuff going on, no doubt about it.
I went skiing.
So I'm glad we finally got together. Yeah, but you didn't ski. Right?
You went on a ski
trip. You should have said I went on a ski trip.
I did go on a ski trip. No, I actually
did.
Didn't
you dress
ski.
Like a ski bunny? Did you have the pink outfit with the fur?
It was black.
Oh, okay.
It was black and white. It was really cool.
I don't know if it counts if it's black.
It does count. It does count. And I actually I met the band that was up there playing. I went to Angel Fire, New Mexico, and
That's pretty cool there.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a really cool band playing, and I think everyone saw my boobs one night. I drank a little bit too much vodka, but other than that, I didn't drink.
Not
a lot.
A surprise.
It was a really cool trip. So yes, I went on a ski trip, and I bought me that cowboy hat over there, that Stetson.
I know, it's pretty nice.
You like that?
Yeah, you look good in a cow. I've never seen you in a cowboy hat before. That's good.
I never
it's
have
different.
Actually had a cowboy hat before.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like that one.
It looks official, you know.
And I got this belt here at Billy Bob's in
Dallas.
Does
it move?
The belt?
Yeah.
Or the hat?
Either.
No, but I do. If I have enough vodka in me, moo. Excuse me.
Wow. Yeah, we have no cough button here.
I'll have to show you the pictures of that night.
Yeah, hey. Put that on the internet.
I think there's some like up on the lodge wall or something like that.
Of course it is. You're a legend, like just everywhere else you go.
Anyway, I've also been Angel Fire, New Mexico, for any of you guys who want to know that. And don't go there. Go to Taos, New Mexico. I can't say
Taos.
Yes. What everyone says. Taos, whatever. Taos is actually right. Texas in Espanol, but
right.
Yeah. So go there instead. It's much bigger. And they have better Mexican food over there.
I've always wanted to go to Santa Fe. It's supposed to be a big, I think it's Santa Fe.
It's New Mexico?
Yeah. Maybe it is Taos. I don't know. Anyway, there's supposed to be a big art community around there somewhere.
There is definitely an art community.
Yeah.
And lots of old hippies around there. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm into art communities. What can I say? Yeah, I like that. I'd like to go there sometime. I know it's all going to be like, you know, pictures of cactus and
yes, and turquoise stuff.
Yeah, which I'm really not into, but I like the idea of the art community. So
I got me some cool silver stuff or whatever. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, that's cool. Very cool.
Yeah, good to go on a ski trip and don't actually go skiing. There was no snow. They were like man-making this shit, so that was kind of a problem for me.
It's really not the same.
Yeah, well, you don't want me to get up on some skis anyway. It's be kind of dangerous.
You're going to get a chance to ski here in about 6 hours. You're going to ski right on home. No doubt about it. Now, since we talked to you last, you had a redesign up at your dungeon.
I have. Yes, I have. It looks really great, too.
You and some of your slaves or helpers or whatever, your little elves, helped you out on a lot of stuff. And, I mean, you know, new curtains and
I have a new guy.
You've got some new equipment.
I got a new little submissive. He's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He's heavy into some bondage and some spanking there, and he absolutely is irreplaceable. Mm-hmm. I guess I should say wrong word.
Right.
But he painted the walls for me, and he built me some things, and he fixed my cross. For those of you who know that might have St. Andrew's cross problems, okay, either one's too big, or one was too small, or one had like pokey things on it or whatever, so he fixed it.
I hate pokey things on my St. Andrew's cross.
Yeah, it's just not a good thing. So yeah, he actually put a padded floor on it and everything.
Right.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
He did a great job.
I've seen his work. He's done some good stuff up there. He had a medical table that he added some stuff to.
Yeah, and actually he's built me a stockade. So
right, nice.
Yeah, and he's building me a trap. For those of you who don't know what that is, I don't actually know yet either. But I know that you can lay on your back.
A trap, like a bear trap? Like submissives are into losing their leg?
Yes. No.
You know.
You know,
like
you
a big
hear about
metal
the
trap.
Castration, you know, fantasy.
Right.
This is like lose your leg fantasy. No, it's actually, you can like lay on your back.
Sure, there are people that are into that.
Losing your leg fantasy? There probably is.
I know.
There, dark. Okay.
I know. We're going to talk about some of that later on.
Anyway, lay on your back and you can put your feet in it, your legs in it. So
right.
it's like kind of like suspend your legs so you don't have to like put them over my shoulder.
Right. Interesting.
Anyway, so yes, my little subby's awesome. I absolutely adore him. So anyway.
So you've got some new some new toys and stuff. I mean, you've been getting some new toys.
I had to get some new things, but
right, because you had a little issue with your
with my other
have
things.
We talked about that?
We have not.
Should we maybe we shouldn't, but anyway, for some unexplained reason you lost some of your toys
and
one of your many trips abroad.
And just and while we were speaking of that, just so you all know, I just want to let you know a little bit about the law in the state of Texas. You can only have 7 insertables on your person in the state of Texas. How I know this will remain a mystery.
Insertables. That's really
a mean,
quite
7
the
fingers?
Euphemism. Yeah, I mean, really.
What define insertable.
Exactly.
So anyway, just so you know that. So yeah, I had to replace some floggers and some other like items, and that's okay. So
right.
Come see my new and improved toys.
Right, exactly.
And insertables.
Definitely insertables.
I only have 7, just so you know. For all you Texas law people out there, Princess Oil only has 7.
You wanted to talk about the Super Bowl.
I did. No, actually, I didn't want to talk about the Super Bowl. Just wanted to talk about the entertainment.
You
want to
talk about the halftime show at the Super Bowl?
The halftime show. You know what? The fucking sound guy for the Black Eyed Peas. I'd love to get a hold of his ass. I saw the Black Eyed Peas.
He fucked up.
He fucked up. I saw the Black Eyed Peas in Norman out here at OU. I had saw them with damn U2 was here. And they were phenomenal.
That's a pretty good lineup right there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
They had a big old spaceship kind of crab thing or whatever.
Right.
But it was a great show. And they're a great band. And I felt so sorry for them having their damn sound fucked up. So the sound dude, whoever you are, you need to stand up and say, I'm sorry.
I don't know if you noticed this, but some of their lighting was off too. They had a whole runway that was supposed to be lit when they had the word love spelled out.
Yeah, I saw that.
Part of their V was not lit up at all. Yeah. It's like, you know, what is this? This is the damn halftime show of the Super Bowl, and they can't get their sound right, and their lights are not lighting up.
I venture to say it's not the Black Eyed Peas fault. I think it's the sound man's fault wherever he is.
No, it's not their fault.
He deserves a luncheon.
And, you know, let's be honest. They're a studio band. You know,
but, well,
they're not
true.
Necessarily a you know big live band.
No, they're not.
I mean, you know their music, and I'm
it's
sure that it was a lot of fun and stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, they're at their best when they're in a studio. They had a lot of energy, and Slash was interesting when he came out for his little
deal.
Came
up from underneath
the
depths there.
Yeah, that was interesting. Actually, Usher was pretty good.
Usher came down from the ceiling.
Yeah,
it was. And Christina Aguilera, you know. I felt not sorry for her because she rushed the fucking rehearsal, and I was pissed at her for that because she rushed the rehearsal and she's like quit halfway through her song, but she can sing.
How do you know that she rushed?
She
the
rushed
rehearsal.
The
rehearsal. I can't even say it.
Rushed
the rehearsal.
Well, because it's in the news. That's how I knew.
Oh, okay.
Because I was there, Dirk. You know.
Of course. Of course.
Yes, of course. I was there. She invited me.
Topless in Texas Stadium.
Yes, that's what happened. No, she rushed the damn thing. But, you know, she can sing it because I have heard her sing it two or three other times. I don't really care for the whole, you know, kind of
she puts too
thing.
Much. Yeah, she puts too much on it.
But, you know, it was...
For me.
I've seen people fucking up worse.
She's exceptionally talented.
She is a beautiful girl.
And she's also exceptionally hot.
She is definitely that. Yes, she is. I have to give her that.
But,
you know who can sing it? It's fucking Jessica Simpson.
You got to learn the words.
I mean,
it's not that long. The song is not that long.
Do you know all the words, Dirk?
I think I do.
Go ahead and sing it for us.
Then again, I'm not standing in front of the Super Bowl.
Yes.
You know, in front of 300 million people.
Yes.
You know, singing
true.
The song.
It's true.
If I was, I'd know the words.
She could get a cheat sheet, you know, like a little damn sticky
anything,
note.
Anything, yeah.
Or
I mean, anything.
Poor girl.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's tough. I understand.
But I wanted the Steelers to win. I like their uniforms better. I didn't have a preference.
That's a good way to pick the team. Really, who has the best uniforms?
That's how I picked which branch of the military I went into, you know.
Wow.
Air Force had the best uniforms, so they won. So that's what I picked.
Amazing.
That's how shallow I am.
I've heard Air Force is, well, I shouldn't even get into this.
Uh-oh. What go ahead.
Well,
my
dad was in the Air Force.
Well, he's smart.
Yeah.
There you go.
He always said if you're going to go into the service, you should go into the Air Force.
That's right.
Because that's really you know.
If you're smart.
You get, you might get away.
Sorry, Army guys.
You might get away with a little bit more, honestly, if you're in the Air Force. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
it's kind
know.
Of a different culture.
It is very much a different culture.
You know, as opposed to like the Marines.
That have to work.
That have to work their ass off.
And the Army
and
too.
Right,
the Army
and the
does
Army.
Work too.
And, you know, you're on the front lines and stuff. Yeah. And God bless people who are out there doing that.
And the damn Navy has the horrible costumes. The horrible uniforms.
Costumes.
I'm sorry about that.
Wow.
Sorry about that, all you seamen out there.
Now, I know a lot of, I know a lot of people in the Navy and stuff who love it. But
I didn't want to be a seaman.
Is that what they call you?
If you're in the Navy, you're a seaman. What else?
You know, Tom Cruise was in the Navy. And
well,
Top
there you
Gun,
go.
I mean.
I, was,
so you
I
gotta,
watched that fucking like two nights
those,
ago.
If you want to wear those dress whites, you got to be in the Navy.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But they was like spray paint their rank on their.
Chicks dig that.
They do. They do
Chicks
dig that.
Chicks dig those
especially
outfits,
if
man.
Especially if you're in Top Gun there.
Especially if you're like an elite fighter pilot. That probably doesn't hurt either.
It doesn't hurt at all.
It's not bad. It's probably not bad for picking girls up.
So do we actually have anything for the fetish show today, or are we just going to, like, you know?
We're just going to BS.
That's a good idea. You know what? I like that. Would you like some of my frosting here? I brought a can of...
I don't know anyone who just eats frosting for no doggone reason.
Out of the can, because it's good. That's why.
Well, we got another couple of things to cover here, and then we're going to get into the news.
All right.
The first thing I want to cover is that just in a few days, actually, on February the 11th, begins the Dirty Show in Detroit, and I've got a 30 by 20 piece that's going there. It features a model named Hellcat, who you can find her on FetLife, and she's a great bondage model. She did a great job for me there, and it has bondage shibari rope work by Master David M.
Awesome.
In the piece, it's a huge piece, cost $40 trillion to send it across the nation. And it's going to be on the wall down there at the Dirty Show. And we've talked about the Dirty Show before, but it's got some of the absolute best erotic artists in the land. They have a lot of performances and just a lot of really cool people there.
We need to make it out there one
day. No.
We need to actually go.
No, absolutely.
To a
we
dirty
need to be
show.
There and yes. interview, you know, half the people there, because seriously, yes. it would be awesome.
That would be.
I mean, they've got.
Let's work on that for next year.
No,
then.
Seriously, I'm gonna try to get in touch with the organizers and see if we can't go do that. I think that'd be a really
maybe
great
they'll
idea.
Get us a ticket and let us in.
Yeah. So anyway, the Dirty Show. If you want to see my work or the another 100 artists that are out there, it will be running from February 11th through the 19th. This is 2011. It's going to be at Burt's Theater, and if you want to know more about it, then go to dirtydetroit.com.
And it is in Detroit, Michigan, by the way.
It is in Detroit, Michigan, yes. That's why they call it Dirty Detroit. So that's the Dirty Show. The next thing I want to mention is...
Yes?
If you are listening to this from a download on iTunes, or if you have an iPhone, get on board, get over there to iTunes... And give us some ratings.
Yes, please. And I say that very lightly.
And leave us some comments on there and stuff so other people know what's going on.
Yes, all my submissives out there, I'm ordering you to go to fucking iTunes and give us some ratings now.
There you go.
Go.
That's what we need right there. So we need some ordering.
That, well, but, you know, I'll ask them each and every one next time I see them. If they don't, then... No spankings for you guys.
Right, absolutely.
Absolutely no spankings.
And before I get into the next section, I also want to say if you want to leave a message on our voicemail hotline, then please dial 1-888-506-0221.
And could you say that again, please?
That's 1-888-506-0221.
Because you know you have to say it twice.
You do. Everyone always does it twice.
Yeah.
So it's very important.
It's like, and if you act now, you get one more... thing with your order, you
absolutely
know.
It's important. Act now.
$9.99.
All right, and that's going to wrap it up for our intro section, and up next is the Fetish Show News.
And now the Fetish Show News Desk.
All right, first up on the Fetish Show News, every so often I decide to maybe push something political, and this is one of those times.
All right, let's hear.
So anyway, this is from a website. I'm going to read what they have written here. It says, just the other day, President Obama urged other countries to stop censoring the internet. But now the United States Congress is trying to censor the internet here at home. A new bill being debated this week would have the Attorney General create an internet blacklist of sites that U.S. internet providers would be required to block. This is the kind of heavy-handed censorship you'd expect from a dictatorship, where one man can decide what websites you're not allowed to visit. But the Senate Judiciary Committee is expected to pass the bill quickly, and senators say they haven't heard much in the way of objections. That's why we need you to sign this petition. They've got a petition on here and stuff, and I will put a link to that. Since then, there's also been this thing going through Congress that is sponsored by Joe Lieberman, which is what they're calling the Internet Kill Switch.
Really?
And if you'll remember, not too terribly long ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, when the stuff started up in Egypt,
yes,
they shut down their internet because people were coordinating through Twitter.
Right. And Facebook, yes.
So I think it's interesting that we talk about our freedoms over here, and meanwhile, our senators are trying their damnedest to try to restrict our access to the internet, which is one of the few, like, you know, it's like the Wild West of freedom right now. I mean, it's one of the few things that's actually not regulated. I mean, for example, we can do this podcast. We don't have to run it by anyone. We put it straight out to the internet. It's a wonderful thing. It's the sort of thing that the United States should be championing.
Yes.
But for some reason, you know, we've gotten in this thing where our politicians want to get their greedy hands in on there and either want to control it somehow, or, you know, the next thing, of course, is tax it. They want to get some taxes going on it.
Don't they already do that?
Well, we do have some taxes, but we don't have it. It's not directly, and
well,
it's not.
We pay Cox.
It's not.
Don't we pay some fucking taxes?
No, that's true. No, that's true. But it's not. It's not as ubiquitous as it could be.
That's true too.
And it's not as enforced as it could be, for sure.
Well, I see a little bit of a difference though in them shutting down the media in Cairo and in Egypt as a form of controlling the situation. Which is, I think, a little bit different than them trying to censor us here. Although it does have some similarities in that somebody is fucking with the right to be on the internet whenever you damn well please.
The internet doesn't need fixing.
No.
That's one thing that really disturbs me greatly is you want to talk about a problem that's in search of a solution. Or whatever. A solution is in search of a problem. Or, anyway, I'm not saying it right.
I understand what you mean, though.
In any case, they're putting the horse before the cart. I mean, there is no problem that needs to be fixed on the internet.
And does it
the
say
internet
exactly
is working fine. Damn skippy.
Does it say which sites these are that they want to censor out?
No, I have no idea, but who cares?
Yeah, who now, fucking
look,
cares?
I mean, it's the slippery slope. I mean, obviously, you can point to sites that are put on there by militant Muslims or something that are telling you to bomb people, or from the KKK, and you say that's hate speech, that shouldn't be. But, you know, to that I say fuck that.
Fuck that. I agree with you.
You have to defend, you know, shit like that so that it doesn't become the slippery slope. And so you also know what the fuck they're saying. We don't want those people to go underground. We want them to put their stupid opinions out on
the
internet so we can go, look at this. These people are fucking stupid. We need to stay away from them.
There's enough censorship already. And let's talk about the Fourth Amendment rights. We have the right, the freedom of speech, with the freedom of press, freedom of religion. Fuck that shit. I'm signing the petition. Where the hell is it?
Right. Well, I will post that. Actually, there's about two or three things. It's a progressive organization, which I'm not really into progressivism. But in this case, they've got like three different things that I'm very much for, which is, I mean, I would say I lean heavily towards libertarianism, which is basically I want the government out of my fucking business. And I sure as hell want the government off the internet. We don't need them there.
Have you flown lately? I came back from New Mexico.
Don't believe me. I have outlets where I have ranted on this subject, and I get very, very vocal and very loud.
I just let them jack me up. I'm like, get right ahead, baby. Fill me up.
That's a whole, let's not even get into that.
I just wear these big underwires under my bra, you know, so I go off when I get it. Anyway.
So, in any case, I'm going to post a link to that.
Thank you.
To that deal. And so if you want to keep your internet free of the government, which everyone listening to this should, then, you know, get over there and
not
sign
like
this
they're
petition.
In our shit anyway. So they are already in our shit anyway.
Oh, that's yet another issue. It's yet another issue. It's the sort of thing that we have to deal with all the time, especially when you do you know, erotic art or anything else. I mean, you're basically fighting against, you know, your civil rights at almost every turn.
That's right.
So in any case, the theme of the rest of the news for today is the word fetish has taken over the world.
It has this year, or it has last year.
Yes, it has. And here's the first case of it. Jets coach Rex Ryan's wife, Michelle, may have starred in foot fetish videos. This is not exactly a new story, but it's been a while since we've done this. Foot fetish videos of a woman who's a dead ringer for the wife of Jets coach Rex Ryan burned up the internet Tuesday night, giving the word football a whole new meaning. One of the four videos on the sports gossip site Deadspin.com show the woman and an off-screen cameraman who sounds like Ryan having intimate discussions about her feet. The petite blonde showed off her toes in the videos, which bears an uncanny resemblance to Michelle Ryan, the coach's wife of 23 years. Deadspin reported that the woman featured in the videos goes by the internet handle I Have Pretty Feet and has more than looks in common with the coach's wife. Like Michelle Ryan, the 47-year-old woman is a housewife with a master's degree, a Virgo, and once lived in Ellicott City, Maryland, which is where the Ryans lived before they moved to New York, Deadspin said. Rex Ryan, in a scheduled interview session with Chicago reporters on Wednesday morning, only said, I know you need to ask. It's a personal matter. So, in any case, there's the first story. It's about foot fetish. I've seen the videos. I don't know who all have seen the videos. They're really innocuous. I mean, they're just the one video I saw, she was in a car and she had her feet, you know, out of the window. She was fully clothed. She was in jeans and a t-shirt. She had her foot out of the window, and they're talking like, hey, you got some pretty feet there. And, you know, it's like, oh, you like my feet? And yeah, I like your feet a lot. You know, it's that sort of thing. That's the video. I mean, it's not even like, you know.
Well, you know.
It's pretty tame.
And for those of you who are into that sort of thing, you know, you can go to those foot nights. They have those parties that you can go and actually watch sports and see the feet of some beautiful women. So if you go to, like, footnight.com, you can check that out.
You have no idea how many of those things I get. I'm on Facebook. I get hit up all the time for stuff all around the nation. And
actually,
literally around the world.
I was going to be the model for one in Dallas. They go to different cities and they actually have these parties. I know it's a little off subject there, but
no, that's not off subject
at
all.
Just for people who are interested in feet and want to see some.
I think by and large that foot fetish is probably the most predominant.
It is
actual
the
fetish.
Biggest
out there.
Fetish known to mankind, and only men have it. Women do not have foot fetishes, and interesting enough, women secrete some of the same pheromones in their vagina as they do in their feet.
Is that right?
Well, apparently.
Interesting.
I don't know. I haven't sniffed many feet lately or
neither
other things.
It's not my thing. It's not my thing, but there's nothing wrong with that.
I have nothing against it at all. I have a few clientele who like to check out my feet.
So on the theme of fetishes taking over the world, MTV had an episode called True Life, I Have a Fetish. What if the way that you got turned on seemed freakish to most people? Would that keep you from leading a fulfilling life? On this episode of True Life, you'll meet two young people struggling to fit in a world that doesn't always accept their unusual sexual obsessions. Andrew gets aroused by the sight of women's feet. Can he find a girl with a perfect set of toes who also welcomes his devotion? Daisy is a dominatrix who loves nothing better than having a male slave submit to her every whim. But will she be forced to significantly cut back the time she spends in the dungeon in order to make a living? Find out on True Life, I Have a Fetish. Now, I don't think you saw this, did you, Zoe?
I think I've seen one episode of it.
Well, it was just one episode.
I think he was like
now,
in the
True
airport.
True Life is a regular deal. Yeah, that was it.
Same bites or whatever, and he was
right.
Like crying or whatever, and
he
like
was
tattooed her feet like on his person.
Yes, he did.
Yes, I saw that.
Yes.
And speaking of MTV, Rihanna has an awesome.
That's true, yeah.
New video out right. That's all about.
I was actually going to talk about that in the next episode.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It's all right.
When she's walking Paris Hilton, you know, and he's like peeing on a hydrant or whatever. It's really cool.
Not Paris Hilton.
Perez. Perez. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Paris.
That's a different thing entirely.
I was totally thinking.
Although walking Paris Hilton would be pretty hot.
I was thinking him, but saying the wrong name. Perez. Shit. Anyway. Yes, that's quite all right. Paris would have been a better site.
We will absolutely talk about that in the next episode, and I'll place a link to that too, as a matter of fact, because that's definitely a big deal, that particular deal. And there's some allegations that maybe they stole some scenes of that from a fetish photographer, actually.
I don't know, and they wanted to ban the video or some
shit. Of course they did. Of course they did. Which is the best thing that would ever happen
Paris
to her.
Paris Hilton was not in it.
Right, I mean, she's not in it, so.
I'm just kidding. Okay.
So anyway, that particular episode I thought was interesting for two reasons. Number one, you know, that guy, for example, had this very cute kind of goth chick, and he was 100% concerned with her feet. He actually said, I have to find, because it didn't work out between the two of them, mm-hmm. he said, I'm going to have to find another pair of feet.
Well, you know, that men that are into feet.
There's a whole girl attached to those feet, dude.
Men that are into feet, they don't see pussy, they don't see breasts, they don't see boobs. They are totally into feet. That is their sexual attraction, and they are very serious about it. That is what turns them on. That's what gives them a hard on.
I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with that, but you're going to have to pay attention to the rest of the girl if you want to, you know, be with her.
Well, as much as guys pay attention to the rest of the girl that's attached to the boobs, you know.
Right, or whatever, I know, yeah. But I mean, you can't just... You know, you can't just date a pair of boobs.
Well, and along with the feet, you know, some men have leg fetishes, calf fetishes. I know several guys who's totally into legs, and they could care less.
Kind of like asses.
Ass.
I'm kind of an ass guy.
Yes, I see that what you got over there on your computer. Yeah, it's like very distracting
like
to me.
With hot asses.
I kind of do too.
Yeah.
So I second that emotion.
I'm crazy like that. Anyway, I thought that was interesting about that guy. And also, the dominatrix was really interesting because she was kind of, I guess, new to the scene or something. This was kind of a new thing for her. Mm. And she was working out her issues where she wanted to date, but she only wanted to date vanilla dudes. And when normal vanilla guys found out that she was a dominatrix, they didn't want to be with her anymore.
Well, I think that's just maybe TV, don't you?
Well,
how are you gonna not know? How are you gonna date me and not know that I'm not a dominatrix? It's just gonna be impossible.
No, I mean, she would tell him in the first date or two, and she was having a hell of a time trying.
I've never had a guy say that.
For some reason, she wouldn't have anything to do with submissives or anything.
Yeah.
She was very, very turned off to dating any of the submissives. So. She was kind of between a rock and a hard place there that she'd put herself in, by the way. But, you know, there's only so much, you know, sympathy I can give to someone who's created such stringent rules that, you know, she can't be fulfilled. But yes, I thought that was an interesting situation.
I think she'd date the guy with the biggest dick, actually. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
And the biggest, whatever, feet. I don't know.
A pair of feet.
I'm kidding. You shouldn't date the guy with the biggest dick. The smallest one. And I see all sizes, too. Did I mention that? I don't know how to... I just totally turned the subject around to me. How do y'all like that?
Interesting.
And penises.
Of course the penises.
Boobs.
Penis eye.
Peni.
Penix.
Penix? Peni.
That's the plural of penis?
No. It's peni.
Peniles.
Peni. Like octopi.
Right, good.
Peni.
A school of penis.
Penis school. School of ejection.
So in the spirit of how fetish is taking over the world, I'm not going to read the article at all. I just thought, I mean, now it's really, the word fetish has really arrived, by the way. This is from Slate, which is a big news organization. And the title of this article is How the Tea Party's Fetish for the Constitution as Written May Get It in Trouble.
What? They just put the word fetish in there.
Exactly.
It just stuck the word.
Now, this is
there.
A political article. It was written by Dahlia Lithwick and posted on January 4th.
And it's just stuck fetish
title. I mean, the Slate is no different than the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, in their title, in their, you know, the actual article title, they have the word fetish.
Why not?
Speaking about the Constitution. Now, you know that it's the word fetish has gone mainstream when you're getting it in a title for a political article. And, you know,
well, I think our forefathers were a little kinky anyway. They fucking wore like wigs and, you know, with some makeup and shit.
And wooden teeth.
That's wooden
very
teeth.
Kinky. That's very kinky.
They did not all wear wooden teeth.
I want to say something else, too. I've noticed a lot. I mean, I'd read, let's just say that if the word fetish is published on the internet, it probably runs across my desk. Because I have alerts set up.
Literally runs.
Yeah, literally runs right across my desk. So I see the word fetish a lot. And what I've noticed is that there are a lot of, let's just say, less than talented journalists who are now using the word fetish to mean anything that someone
they don't even
really
know.
Intensely likes.
They don't even know what it means.
So if you really like ice cream, you've got a fetish
for ice cream.
Yeah. And it's like a shortcut. It's like some sort of, they're trying to be edgy and cute.
It's
and
like saying that's gay when you don't mean homosexual.
Right, right. And so I'm just putting up the flags, the warning flags right now. People, we need to reappropriate.
I think he wants you
fetish.
To use the word correctly. So,
please.
So in that,
please.
So in
I mean,
that
fetish
jerk,
is not a shortcut.
So why don't you just define fetish for us then there, mister?
Well, specifically, fetish is something that you have to have something like an item.
It's a non-sexual.
That is absolutely essential for you to get aroused.
Exactly.
It's not boobs. It's...
Right. It's a non-sexual...
It's a pin or, right. You know...
It's fetishes happen
500 count sheets.
Early childhood development at some right. stage in early childhood development where our sexuality is being developed and we put a sexual connotation onto something that is not
right.
typically a sexual
now that's the,
feature or characteristic.
That's the clinical definition of fetish.
Why, yes, it is.
I would say that it's obviously in our case, I mean, in the fetish show, it's grown to encompass a lot more things. And yes. In our case, I would say that fetish is kind of interchangeable with kink.
Sure.
You know, so we have expanded it.
And kink meaning?
Just
kinky.
Things that are kinky, unusual, you know.
No, I don't even know
deviant,
what's kinky anymore. Because
deviant sex. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that was maybe kinky 10 years ago is almost mainstream. Listen, those millennials are kinky. I'm telling you right now, they, by and large, the things that used to be a big deal to us and stuff that, I mean, those kids, watch out for your kids, folks, because those kids are growing up, I guess, maybe, well, they're watching MTV, I Have a Fetish. That's what the deal is. So they're exposed to this stuff.
Yes, true.
Much earlier than we, I mean, I had to, believe me. I had to seek this shit out.
I have clients
like
that...
Like Sherlock Holmes, I had to seek this fetish shit out back when I was young.
Then it's
you don't
the
have
internet.
To seek it out now.
I have clients
it's,
that are 21 years old because I will not see anybody that's under 21. And,
right.
I am hesitant at that even. And
right.
I'm like, what the fuck
yeah,
are you doing?
Yeah, but there's
doing?
Tons of them out there.
They are. They know. They know.
Well, I mean, I
they
knew,
know when
I
they
knew
are
when
very
I was,
young.
I knew when I was 13.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, well, looking back.
I mean,
you know,
I finally put it all together when I was 13. It's like, I'm into this and I'm into this.
Well, looking back, I go through some of my old pictures and stuff, and I'm like, you know what? I was wearing like thigh-high leather boots
right.
when I was like 16
right.
years old.
Exactly.
You know, and acting in plays and stuff
exactly.
where I was
and
wearing
I think
like
that's
a leather.
That's the way a lot of people are.
Yeah.
Although some people, you know, get in their 40s and they still haven't
figured it out.
They haven't figured it out yet. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, I talk to a lot of people too, you know, I call
you?
Myself.
Do you now? Dirt?
Yes, I do. And, you know, I call myself a mentor, like a BDSM mentor. I talk to a lot of people and, you know, help them kind of work out their stuff and maybe point them in the right direction and stuff. And it's amazing to me how many women get in like their 30s or 40s mm-hmm. and realize that they've been dating a certain type of guy because they wanted something in the bedroom and that guy may have been giving it to her or not. But
I could that's why say they something were there. I'm so not going to.
But that's why they were attracted to a certain type of guy, because they felt like they had to date, you know.
You want some frosting?
No, I want nothing to do with that frosting.
Sorry.
That is wrong.
I'm having a little frosting here. Yeah, I know. Frosting moment.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. I told you I'm on a health kick right now.
It's good, though.
I'm out. So anyway, it's time for us to take back the word fetish. Fetish cannot be used for fucking anything. If it's a Wall Street Journal article and it doesn't have a dominatrix in it, you can't call it fetish.
That's just stupid.
Wanting our government to practice the dictates that were laid out in the Constitution is not a fetish.
I tend to second that emotion.
All right. So anyway, hot sex, there's an app for that.
Wow.
As soon as the concept of apps was introduced, sexy apps entered the arena. There are game apps and advice apps. There are XXX rated apps and R-rated apps. There are apps designed to be silly sexy and apps designed to be seriously sexy. But whatever you're into, there's bound to be a sexy app that will help put a charge in your sex life. So here's a few apps that they have.
An app fetish.
Yes, it's a fetish for apps. Everything's a fucking fetish.
Sorry.
One of them's called Body Heat by Oh My Bod. It's the first app of its kind designed to remotely control vibrators and is being released January 6th at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. FoxNews.com is the first to get the scoop.
Woohoo!
You can turn your iPad, iPod, or iTouch into a remote for a variety of vibrators from Oh My Bod. It lets users change the intensity and the pattern of the vibration. You just touch the screen to speed things up, slow things down, or change things around.
That's like your computer is going to be able to impregnate you before too long. Fucking have cyber sex and shit.
I know, we're headed towards Blade Runner, where like we have, like we create our partners, you know?
That's true, yes.
Yeah,
out of fish scales.
How about Cosmos? Lizard scales.
What was it, the little scale he found?
Yeah, she had a
snake.
It was a snake scale.
It was a fucking snake.
Yeah, it was an artificial snake scale.
That's right. Okay.
Since we're geeking out on Blade Runner right now, which I've seen 40 million times.
Love that song.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So here's another app, Cosmos Sex Position of the Day.
Wow.
If you're looking to add new positions to your roundup, this app might be just what you need as we herald in this new year. It includes positions like the figure eight, and the G-spot jiggy.
I want to know about the G-spot jiggy there.
Well, they don't have pictures.
What the hell?
I'm sorry. We'll have to check into that.
Fuck that. I don't want some pictures.
We'll have to download that app.
Damn.
Designed to heighten female pleasure. That's the G-spot jiggy.
Yes.
As well as positions like romp with a view, which is designed more with the man in mind. The app also features the carnal challenge rating. The more flames, the higher the difficulty. Step-by-step guide instructions, info on why you'll love certain positions, and illustrations so that users will know what the position should look like.
Certain positions.
What do you think?
Well, you know what? I think that most men need to know this. Which position do women come in the most?
Which position?
Yes.
I'm going to say the reverse cowgirl.
Negative. Although
right.
I do like that one, but see, you're a visual creature, that's why.
Right.
On top. Always on top.
Well, reverse cowgirl is on top.
It is on top. However, it's backwards. So,
oh, okay. Well,
you know, so.
All right.
So we're looking at your nuts and you're looking at our ass.
All right. Well, I like the ass.
you do like that ass.
I do. Absolutely. All right. We got another app here called the Bedometer. They call this the Sexercise app. As the name implies, this app allows you to calculate how many calories you've burned from having sex. It has both single and multiplayer options.
You need that, Dirk, you know, since you're counting calories right now.
Exactly. And the creators explain that it uses the iPhone's accelerometer to detect the intensity of your workout.
Wow.
The Bedometer gives users a result that can even be posted on Facebook if you're so inclined.
I think I'm gonna have to try that.
Yeah, not bad.
I'll post mine on Facebook. I don't care.
And finally, our last app here is the Sexulator. Allows you to track your sexual activity. The premise is that if you see your stats, you are more apt to want to improve them, causing you and your partner to get down to it more often. It teases a sex status level system that is based on your activity, but it won't reveal the levels until you get there. It also allows you to rank your experiences. If you or your partner disagree about how much sex you do actually have, this app can put an end to those fights. And if you're the kind of person who likes to compare notes, this app allows you to see how you and your friends stack up.
Wow. I need that.
It's good stuff, man.
That is. We need that.
That's good stuff. All right. Let's talk a little bit about some upcoming events. You ready?
I'm ready to go.
The Fetish Factory, Valentine's Fetish Ball. Valentine's Day is coming up.
I know.
Very, very quick.
I know.
Very quick.
I love Valentine's Day, and I should be getting a lot of pink roses.
Pink roses, huh?
Well,
that's preferable to red?
Well, I'm mentioning it now. I like pink.
All right.
Pink. It's my color.
Okay.
And black. So I've never seen any black roses, but
I have.
Have you?
I found some black roses that were like striped with like white stripes. How cool is that?
That is really fucking cool.
It is really fucking cool. Those were the most awesome roses
I've
ever seen
in my life.
But
they were like white roses.
No, they were real roses.
Wow.
They grew them like, I don't know, they were freaky. They were mutant roses, but they were awesome.
They were mutant roses. Okay, so now all my subs know I want pink roses.
There you go. And that's coming up quick, so you better get to the... To the florist.
Get to the florist now.
Get thee to a florist. The most popular monthly event of the year, and kinky love is in the air. It's the one and only Valentine's Fetish Ball, and it takes place on Saturday, February 12th at Sea Monster Nightclub in the beautiful downtown Fort Lauderdale.
Wow. Sea Monster Nightclub.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
I like that name.
They said that they've set up custom steel bondage equipment throughout the club and encourage safe and consensual play. We also encourage interaction with our crowd with dancing and provocative play with creative bondage, spanking, flogging, fetish games, and the ultimate mind fuck.
I want to know about that.
I think we all do.
Yes. I might have to go there for that.
That's the Valentine's, the Fetish Factory Valentine's.
We might need to follow up on that.
Yeah, I agree.
See how that goes.
What we need to do is make it out to one of the Fetish Factory parties because they have those things all the time. And I've bought a bunch of crap from the... I mean, I'm endorsing them, I guess. I've bought a bunch of crap from the Fetish Factory.
Well, I believe I had someone contact me, actually, that his band plays at some of these events.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on FetLife. I will have to get in touch with them. Yeah, and they invited us, actually. Well, he did.
Cool.
Invited us, though. And they actually gave me the name to the owners... So we should get in touch.
Very cool.
Yes, I agree.
Very cool. All right. Well, the next event is called Cirque Berserk. And the article on it starts by saying dark, gritty, sexy. Those are some of the go-to adjectives that critics invariably jot in their notebook when describing Cirque Berserk. This year, the show's co-founders warn, or is it a promise, that the experience will only get darker, grittier, and sexier. Now in its third installment in downtown Los Angeles, the macabre cabaret centers around a woman who makes a deal with death that submerges her into a vaudevillian underworld. The show, which opened on January 7th, is a place where a group of guys spring on and off walls and trampolines like human popcorn, where creepy contortionists mix with fire breathers, where sculpted aerialists dance a homoerotic ballet in the sky, and where the black-clad clown pulls a hat out of a rabbit.
What's a vaudevillian?
And I read that correctly. Vaudeville. Don't you remember vaudeville?
Negative.
It's like, gosh, it's like from like the 30s, 40s, 50s, something like that.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't alive then,
darling. Well, neither was I. Vaudeville is kind of related in some ways to burlesque, but vaudeville is more kind of performance, like comedy routines, like Abbott and Costello were kind of a vaudeville crew. And this is obviously a little take on that.
Well, cool. Thank you.
All the while, a live band strums and bangs out a demented Dust Bowl meets Old Berlin soundtrack. The show was a hit when it rooted down in Los Angeles State Historic Park in the summer of 2008. The next year, the Big Top grew from 450 seats to 1,750 seats. The 3,000 people who saw Cirque Berserk in its debut run increased tenfold in 2009.
How do we get some shit like that here in Oklahoma City?
Well, it's it's pretty cool stuff.
That is.
It looks like. So anyway, yeah. That opened on January 7th. What I'm going to do is put a link to this. It actually runs for quite some time, and you should get out there and see that.
I should.
It's very, very cool stuff. All right. And that's going to wrap it up for the Fetish Show News. And up next, we've got questions and answers.
The Fetish Show Q&A.
For today's question and answers segment, we're going to begin by someone wrote me, and in the course of talking to me, wanted to know where Princess Zoe got all of her wonderful corsets.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to tell us a little bit about that there,
Zoe? Sure. Well, I get them in several different places, but the last few that I've bought actually was in Dallas at Leathermasters. I bought the blue one that we did on top of the Sheraton, the photo shoot we did on top of the Sheraton Hotel.
Which was a spectacular corset.
Yes.
Do you still have that corset?
I do still have that corset. That one is not...
Survived.
Did survive the fire. One that did not survive the fire.
Right.
Was the black and red one that actually with the Buck Angel in the Buck Angel stuff. But anyway, so the last two really cool ones I've gotten from Leathermasters there in Dallas, downtown
Dallas. And I went down there with you when you got the
blue
one.
Yes, you did. You helped me buy that one, actually.
And I'll tell you, Leathermasters is a cool place.
It is. And actually, and that's when Dustin learned to corset me.
That's right.
And my little friend Dustin, who's actually a very cool guy.
I don't know who that guy was. But whoever it was, he knew how to cinch up a corset.
And actually, they
which is essential for anyone who hangs around with you.
It is. It is. You have to know.
I've tried on a couple of occasions, and I'm not that good at it, to be quite honest.
You have to know what the fuck you're doing, and you'll
really
fuck my shit up.
Yeah.
Because I can't do it myself. There's absolutely no
way.
No,
you can't do it yourself. Yes, you have to have someone to do it.
You have to be a corseteer. Basically, yeah, no you have to know it. What the fuck to do.
But anyway, that blue corset was awesome. And Leathermasters has a wide selection of corsets there.
And
let's say that you don't live in Dallas, although you could go to their website.
The website is actually nothing compared to their store, in my opinion.
Store is stacked and packed with not just corsets, but also a bunch of leather and bondage gear.
They do.
I bought some leather whips and stuff. I bought some leather gloves.
I bought some leather skirt, leather shorts, leather... I don't even know what all, but all kinds of
And if you go down to Leathermasters...
Mention us.
Then go mention us first.
Yes.
Say, I heard about you guys on the Fetish Show.
Yes, do that, please.
And then go across the street to the, what is it, the Good Time Cafe?
Oh, the food, yes. what was that like? Is that Mexican food? What is that exactly?
It was kind of American, Mexican. It had a little bit of everything.
That was very good.
In there, it's like a diner. It's like an old-fashioned diner, you know, with like the pies and stuff. That was good food.
It was good food.
I had a chicken fried steak there. And I liked a chicken fried steak from Dallas is... it's what the doctor ordered.
It was good food. I had like the chili con queso or some shit like that. It was good.
Yeah. Not bad.
Anyway, so Leathermasters was the last place that I bought my last few corsets.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but can you think of any place else that maybe you've ordered off the internet or maybe some other suggestions?
Let me send you a link to it because I can't remember offhand. But I recently have bought a couple. And I bought one at Fredericks of Hollywood.
Right.
It wasn't leather. It was just, the silk brocade or whatever, but it was very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I get them all different kinds of places. The internet is, we don't have much here in Oklahoma City in the way of
fetish
wear.
Right, I mean, you kind of have to go out. Yeah, you had to go out of town, really.
I mean, if you...
And I imagine that most people are like that, unless you live in Dallas or Los Angeles or New York, Miami.
But I will send you a link to the last few places that I bought, other than Leathermasters in person, So
yeah, I'll post them on the site.
Okay.
So people can get some information. And if we run into some more places, or maybe if some places want to get in touch with us,
that would be lovely.
Then maybe we could feature them. You know, I know there's some.
And in case any of you out there want to purchase me a corset,
right?
You have the link to where to do that.
That's right. That's a good point.
I would love that. It'd be worth a spanking to me. Or to you, I should
say.
Right.
Yes. Or maybe they just want to send it to you and see you have some pictures.
If you send me something, I will definitely model it. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
That's good stuff.
Yep.
All right. For our next letter from Questions and Answers, it starts with Dirk. I love the show. I never knew how to become well informed about the BDSM lifestyle until now. I am a fourth-year college student, and my girlfriend and I have been dating since the start of college. Now that we have been together for a little while, we are starting to become more comfortable with each other and are getting into more kinky things. I find that depending on how one of us feels or what time of the month it is, sometimes I like to dom and sometimes I am sub. Do you think this will change to one or the other over time or go back and forth? Also, I am looking for some good ideas on using everyday household items for some more adult play. Just looking for some thoughts on it. I love listening to the show, and I hope you keep it going. Signed, sexy student.
Wow.
So we've got a couple of questions.
Great.
Both of them really good.
Yes.
Do you want to take the first one?
Oh, sure. About being a switch. I think you'll stay a switch. I think it does depend on the time of the month. I think that being submissive does cycle. I do see that frequently. People that are submissive cycle, and their degree of submissiveness cycles along with it. I find that being dominant, it's usually just probably innate in you. It's something that when you're not being submissive, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're dominant. So I can't really say that it cycles so much. Sometimes it's a mood, a frame of mind, a state of being. And it depends on who you're with. I hear a lot of people say it depends on who I'm with as far as to whether I feel submissive or dominant. So what's your take on that there, Dirk?
Well, first off, I think it's important to say, if you look at a lot of sites out there or maybe even get on FetLife or something, there's some people that are dead set against, switching back and forth.
Is that so?
Or they will make you feel guilty about it, or they'll say that you're not really into BDSM, if you haven't chosen one or the other or whatever. And I think it's important to say, look, it's your life. Do whatever you want to.
That's right.
Don't feel guilty about it one way or the other. If you guys are enjoying, trading the whip back and forth, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You're just playing around. So, have fun. There are no rules. There's
that's right.
Besides, don't harm anyone.
That's
you can
right.
You can hurt them, but don't harm them. that's really the only rule. It's just make sure that everyone's needs are being met and that you're being, safe, sane, and consensual.
And sometimes it switches during just this act with sexual act. Sometimes people switch during act.
Oh, right. In the middle of the scene. With that said, if you want to experience something deeper, if you want to see what it's really like to be, really dominant, or what it's really like to be submissive, you're going to have to pick a role and you're going to have to stick with it for a while so that you can kind of explore the depths of that.
Come see me. I'll teach you a few things.
It's the sort of thing. It's the sort of thing that you're not going to get if you're just playing, occasionally in the bedroom and switching roles. If you really want to know what it's like to be submissive, then you're submissive when your dick's not hard.
I took a test, actually. There's a test online, and I'll have to send you the link to it too, but I am absolutely not submissive in any area on this test, and I've taken it at different times too,
right.
And I've always come out dominant.
Right.
So there's things like that. If you're curious, you can look up a test online and kind of see where your personality, where you fall.
And you're also very right about your partner.
Yeah.
Because depending on who your partner is, someone might bring out, the submissive in you, or might bring out the dom in you.
It's true.
Maybe you're with someone who's never had the opportunity to, they've had fantasies all their lives and something. They say, hey, I would really appreciate if you would, tie me up to this bed and blindfold me and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that brings the dom out in you. And who knows? Maybe you find that you really like that. But I really think that if you're going to, if you really want to experience what it's like to be one or the other, you can't do it for 30 minutes.
And I don't, and I also would like to just add to that. I don't think that necessarily acts per se are either dominant or submissive. I do want to say this because sometimes people get a little bit of confusion onto what is a submissive act or what is a dominant act. If you're in the dominant role, whatever act you're doing is a dominant act. I've had this argument with other doms whether or not giving head.
I was just about to say, what you're talking about is sucking cock, right?
Well, that's one of the things. That is a submissive act.
Right.
Fuck it. No, it's not. If I'm doing it, I'm dominant. I guarantee to you it is not a submissive act.
Again, there are no rules. And, you know, maybe the dominant likes to get that reaction or maybe the dominant just enjoys that act.
It's true.
In either case, whatever the dominant wants, that's what they get.
That's exactly
and
true.
So, you know, I mean, that's the rule. You make your own rules on these things.
That's true.
And, you know, if you're a dominant that likes to get fucked up the ass, then, you know.
And that's not me.
I'm just saying, if that's your thing, that doesn't make you submissive.
I don't mind facilitating.
It's just sorry. That's your thing.
Anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't make you submissive because you do a certain act. It's ridiculous.
That's true. That's true. And I mean, it'd be hard to be dominant and be tied up, but, you know, still, it's, hey, it could happen.
I know dominants that do enjoy playing that way occasionally, though. And, I mean, real
there
dominants
are
that are really, really serious about it that occasionally like to, you know, feel the whip or get tied up.
Like to be flogged. Okay. Right. I think it's like,
I think everyone likes
it. It's like a massage.
It is like a massage. I mean, it can be.
Yeah.
It can be vicious too, but you know, yeah. I mean, it can also be very sensual and like a massage. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
I had a submissive that was one of her rewards. I said, you know, write me down some rewards that you'd like. And one of them was, you know, to be flogged. She just loved it.
Well, spanking's
I mean,
a
she
rewards
loved
for me.
It. Yeah. So anyway, there you go.
So we have fun, and that's a very, very awesome question, and thank you for it.
Yeah.
Please submit more, just like it.
That's a great one. Yeah. So anyway, the second thing was household items.
Wow.
Stuff that you could use. So I wrote down some, and then I went around the internet and looked for some stuff. And so here's some just a kind of a like the tip of the iceberg that I'm going to read to you here.
And we say tip of the iceberg, we're even considering maybe a little video or something on this because it's such a good topic.
Right. I mean, you know, this can
it's
go on
later,
and on and
later
on
date,
and on. And by the way, yeah, I mean, if you're listening to us right now and you've got some other suggestions for household items, I was going to say this at the end, but I'm going to say it now. You know, you can either, you can call us at 1-888. Oh my gosh. I flubbed that. I never flubbed that. 1-888-506-0221. You can call us there or you can email me directly at dirk@thefetishshow.com and give us your household items.
And don't forget me, Zoe, at thefetishshow.com.
Right. So here's some discipline items that can be just very innocuous if for example, you're going through the TSA pat downs and stuff. This stuff shouldn't set off the alarms or anything. You know, if you're going to visit your aunt or something, and you want to take some stuff,
you need to take a few things with you.
If you got some kids or something, none of this should you know necessarily be you know a real problem for you. You know, if your friends or relatives are visiting, and some of this stuff is sitting out on the bed, they probably won't think another thing of it. So here's some discipline items: ping pong paddles. Which I actually have in my toy bag.
Me too.
Which is, it's got that little rubber, you know, it's got that little rubber thing and it's small and it's kind of, you know, it's kind of quick and stuff. It's not bad. Spatulas. Mm. Small wooden cutting board with a handle. Right?
Damn, Derek.
Yeah, right. A large hairbrush, like one of those old wooden hairbrushes, right?
Yeah.
Wooden clothespins. That's kind of I mean, almost everyone has that in their toy bag. Pretty innocuous, right? Mm. Plenty of other small and large shop clamps. I mean, you go to Home Depot or to Walmart or whatever, they've got a trillion clamps and stuff. Mm. And all of those can be used for discipline. Wooden chopsticks with rubber bands. Use those for nipple play, right?
Yeah.
Put a couple of chopsticks
like,
together and rubber bands.
Wow.
And a nutcracker.
What do you do in the nutcracker?
Well, you crack nuts.
I have a hairbrush written down, wooden spoons, clothespins,
right.
Duct tape. String, shoelaces.
I'm getting to some of that here in a minute.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to catch you
the neck. No, you're fine. The next area is bondage. And before, this is not, you know, bondage 101, but you need to please know what you're doing and always watch out for blood flow and be present when you're using these
blood
things.
Flow. Make well, sure saying, blood flows to the area that you, not like blood flowing.
Right. Well, right. What I'm saying is that if their extremities are turning purple color, then they need to get out of it immediately. It's not good. So anyway, obviously rope, you know, that's pretty innocuous. Large bandanas.
Yeah.
You could use, tie someone's wrist to the bedpost with a bandana.
You could do it.
Also silk scarves.
Yes.
Right. You put that in your, yes, in your luggage. No one will safety think anything pins of it. Oh. Right.
Well, safety pins is.
And my advice on bondage stuff is get some of those paramedic scissors. Go over to Walgreens
very
or whatever.
Good. Very good idea.
Get the paramedic scissors. They've got, they don't have those sharp ends on it, and you can always get in there and cut someone out of something really,
that's
quick,
right,
if there's a problem.
Make sure things are clean, too. It's a good idea.
Sure.
Wash things and make sure they're sanitary, right, all that kind of stuff. Go
right
ahead. Anyway.
And here's just some other fun things. We mentioned the silk scarves before, but you can use those as blindfolds. Clear plastic wrap, like Saran wrap, you can use for bondage stuff, right? A baster, which you can use as an insertable, as you say.
Does it go along with fruits and vegetables?
Right. Well, there are certain vegetables you could use in this case. Feather dusters. For sensation play, right?
Right.
Wartenberg wheel. I doubt if anyone would know what that is necessarily.
It looks like a little spur, you know, like a
it
little.
Looks like a spur with a handle.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
You know, safety candles,
mm-hmm,
for wax play. And I say safety candles because if you get the stuff that's got colors in it or something, it burns
they
hotter.
Stains also.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And I mean, safety candles are the cheapest damn thing.
And you know, some people, Matt, actually have TENS units at their house because
sure,
it's very because common these days to
yeah,
have a TENS unit. So.
Absolutely. If you've got, you know, you need to work your muscles out or something.
Yeah, you can put that on your nuts.
Right.
It works.
And you can use your nutcracker too. Speaking of nuts, you can use Icy Hot on that,
mm-hmm,
if you're into that. Pet grooming gloves or brushes, you know, those little things with the kind of the steel things for sensation play. Foot scrapers can be used for abrasion play if you want to do something like that.
Wow.
Ice pop molds can make a frozen dildo.
Speaking of things as such, ginger, ginger root.
Right.
You can take a little sliver of the
it's
ginger root.
Digging.
Stick it down the end of your dick.
Right.
And that will give you a nice sensation.
A little surprise.
Nice gingery surprise.
twine grass mats,
mm,
or raw rice can be used for kneeling torture.
Mm-hmm.
Earplugs.
Enemas.
To just, right.
Yeah.
To just
so no one can hear you scream.
Right, right. I mean, you can pretty much, between the silk scarves as a blindfold and the earplugs, you pretty much lock people out from the world. You know, they can just feel what's going on.
It's true.
Latex gloves used with a water-based lube you can use for, you can
all
do some pretty wild things,
things,
and
yes,
you don't make as much of a mess if you're using those gloves. You can just take the gloves
off. You
should
always wear gloves,
and
yes.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Commode chair and enema bags, if mm, you're into that.
Yeah, if you're into that.
Collars and leashes from a pet store. That's your cheapest place to get your collars and leashes.
Yes.
And people will just think that you've got a pet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got some collar and leash. Where's your dog?
Well, he died.
And there's, right. And the two most important things that you can ever use, the household items that are always available, are your hands.
And your mind.
And your mind.
And your mind.
Your mind is your best tool, trust me. But anyway, that's just a like a primer on some things. Do you have anything else? You had a few things in there.
Yeah, no, that's good. Ice.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, seriously, just an ice cube or something.
Some ice,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And lots of things in the kitchen. You can just raid the kitchen. Cucumbers.
I knew someone, and I don't, for the life of me, I cannot remember what
but,
the deal
you wanna,
was. But they
you
call them the kitchen dom because they had all of this stuff from the kitchen, you know, like, you know, spatulas and wooden spoons,
yeah,
and, you know, all that crazy stuff. if you have your mind in it and you're walking through a place like the dollar store or, you know, what
pick
they
up
call
some condoms, though. You want
the Dom
condoms
Depot.
And some lube.
Yeah.
The Dom Depot.
The Dom Depot. You know, if you go through these places and have your mind on it, you know, you can come up with all kinds of crazy stuff, honestly.
And wash your utensils before and after play.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Yeah, no, that's always good. That's
don't always put them good. Back in the kitchen cabinet.
No, don't just let them back in there.
Sorry.
So anyway, two sexy student, thank you for two fantastic questions. We appreciate that. That's the sort of stuff that we like to, that's the sort of questions we like to get.
Yes, we do.
And please keep listening to the show and write back to us and tell us how things are going. We'd like to hear that.
Thank you.
So up next is our, the end of the show.
Hi, this is Buck Angel and you're listening to The Fetish Show.
That's going to wrap up another episode of The Fetish Show, but we wanted to maybe get a little story from Princess Zoe before we wrapped it up totally.
Oh my gosh, let me think. Well, let me see. I can tell you a story about when I was skiing or on my ski trip.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, it's a boob party story.
Oh, I like it already. Two thumbs up.
Well, apparently I was a little inebriated at this
what? What? So this is a fantasy.
No, it really happened.
Oh, okay.
So I was in the bathroom and these girls came in and they were all like comparing breastises, you know. So you know how I am. I'm like, can I see your boobs? And like, oh, okay, cool.
Is this
can
what
I,
happens in,
touch them?
In women's bathrooms?
This is what happens. So pretty soon we have like six chicks in there and we all like have our boobs out and we're all like, oh my God, look at these, you know.
Wow.
And so some of the guys that I was with, one of the guys in particular, he's like, what are you guys doing in there? So he like comes in the bathroom. So he's in the girls' bathroom.
Wow.
And the girls, we all like have our shirts up and he's like going, wow, you know, and one of the girls like, well, you can touch them. So I go out to touch them and he touches her teddies and she's like, no, not you. You know, he like takes his hands and like pushes his hand off. So,
wow.
So we like have this boob party. So the next day, you know, one of the ski instructors is like, you know, I heard about your boob party in the bathroom last night, you know, so it's all over town. Of course, Angel Fire like has like two people that live there. So anyway, so that's my story. The boob party when I was in Angel Fire, New Mexico.
You have any pictures of that?
I do. I actually have
wow.
photographs of this.
I'm glad I asked.
Yes, of all the cleavages and of my friend
sweet.
In the bathroom.
Wow. We ought to post that on the internet.
I'll do it. I'll send them to you.
Wow. Wow. So, I'll have that up on the site, guys.
Well, see, you know how I like...
Guys and girls.
You know how I like boob parties. You've seen me actually.
I have seen it in play, yeah.
Anytime I see boobs, cleavage, I'm like, I'm drawn to that. So I like stick
you
my face like in there.
You are like a moth to flame.
It's true. It's true. So that's it. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
I think that's a good story.
Well, thank you.
I like that one. That's a winner.
It's a wiener.
It's a wiener. All right. We want to invite you to visit us at thefetishshow.com, where you can see this episode. Plus, you can see the boob party photos, right?
Yes, you can.
And if you want to see some more photos of Princess Zoe, you can go to theprincesszoe.com.
We'll have to post some more photos there pretty soon.
Well, I think we're going to do some new stuff here pretty quick, right?
Yes, we are.
So stay tuned for that. And also you can visit my website, which is dirkhooper.com. And we'd like to invite you out to Facebook.
Yes, Facebook. He's a Facebook fanatic.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to get on our The Fetish Show page.
And get over and vote and give us some ratings.
Yeah, give us some
feedback,
ratings,
whatever.
And some comments.
Yes, some comments. We need some comments and some more awesome questions from like sexy students in us. Send us some more awesome questions.
Yes, please do.
Yes.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode.
All right.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. For Princess Zoe, this is Dirk Hooper. Until next time, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We're always looking for interviews with models, artists, and BDSM lifestyle leaders, as well as information about events and products. For more information, check out thefetishshow.com. Contact Dirk Hooper directly by emailing Dirk@thefetishshow.com.